I wonder how much sex I've lost because I don't go out and smoke pot with people.
Dude, smoking pot makes friends for life.
No, I don't need friends for life. That fucking sucks.
Yeah, they call and ask for money later on.
Everybody wants to borrow something to stay at your place. Like, well, you, for example.
Oh, you
what? Check 1, 2. Where's the sound guy? Tell me we're rolling.
Yay!
Hello and welcome to the award-winning Ardent Atheist, where reason reigns supreme, not frogs and fish. Today's episode brought to you by billions of years of evolution. Sitting next to me is my co-host and producer, Heather Henderson.
Hi, everybody.
You know Heather from the Facebooks, on the inner tubes, and from our other hit podcast, Skeptically Yours. You can find links to our guest website, join our Twitter and Facebook feeds, subscribe to our premium ad-free 90-minute full-length episodes and our email at ardentatheist.com.
If you'd like to take part in the live chat moderated by the author of the well-known blog Hit and Miss, Joe Swam, go to ardentatheist.com/live and chat us up right now.
That's right, and please go to iTunes, subscribe to our podcast for free, and write a review. Help us get in the top 10. We'll never get there. You may also go to ardentatheist.com/premium and subscribe to our premium ad-free content for a measly $10 per year.
Subscribe now or I'll kill you.
You can't threaten to kill people.
Of course I can. I'm an atheist. I have no morals.
Oh, I see. You're illustrating how ignorant that claim is through satire.
Am I, Emery?
Yes.
Am I?
Just go subscribe, people. I don't want you to find out if she's joking.
I get it. Pascal's wager.
Am I, Heather?
That makes no sense.
Is me?
We only have 2 rules on the show. Rule number 1, guests may plug anything they want. We're not hypocrites. Go subscribe.
That's right. And rule number 2, if your listeners ever been offended by anything, get a sledgehammer and destroy your computer now. This show has no restrictions on language or content, and certainly has nothing for you. You, Brian Thompson. We're coming to you live from E&H Studios in sunny Studio City, California. In the Studio City tonight, we have Chris Gore and Kyle Hill. You know these guys from showbiz.
In the world of reason.
That's the other show. You've been doing that last month. The world of reason.
It's true.
Well, listen, atheists are reasonable people, although I'm not sure Chris Gore is an atheist. I haven't even asked the man yet.
You should. Yeah, I should ask me.
Yeah, we will get around to that. So, yeah. Chris Gore.
I am an atheist sympathizer.
We've never had that.
I'm an atheist sympathizer. Yeah, absolutely.
Blaine Kapatch is atheist asterisk, I think, is what he calls
it. Oh, asterisk.
Which I think is pretty cool. Atheist sympathizer. That's fucking awesome. What do you mean?
Yeah, tell us what you
mean. Well, meaning I think it's arrogant for anyone to assume that, like, oh, I can explain. This is mostly religious people. People that are of the religious ilk. Like, oh, this is exactly the way it is. And this book that was written thousands of years ago explains everything. And I think that people.
What do they base that on? Just the book. Only the book,
yes,
right?
Yes. Which is also so open to interpretation. I think you're a moron if you completely take that as gospel, so to speak.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So, but I've also had experiences in my life that I could describe as somewhat spiritual, where it's like, I don't know, I think maybe there's something going on. But I feel like a moron if I would try to explain it.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, now I'm interested. Is there any way I can convince you to give me an example and actually explain it? Now, I have some myself.
Like coincidences that are just like, that's strange.
Mm-hmm.
Or like
that happens to us every day.
It does, and I also think that we happen to read a lot into things. Yes. Like one of my least favorite phrases in English language is, everything happens for a reason.
Right?
It's like, yeah, if you're a moron,
yeah.
That's also a way people explain things that happen that are fucked up.
I don't say everything happens for a reason. I say everything happens because of a reason.
There you go.
I like that.
Yeah,
I like
use that. Tell them that.
Yeah, so I would say that, like Blaine Kapatch, good friend of mine from way back, that I think that I would add an asterisk also. Like, if you had to put me in a category, I definitely would be atheist, but with some sort of leaning of like, I don't know, there could be something going on, but I'm not going to believe, you know, a book that was written thousands of years ago.
Right.
I think that's moronic.
Are you more agnostic?
Yeah, I would say more agnostic.
Do you think that atheists are doing what the religious do and saying they know? Is that what?
No,
it seems
that's
like
what's actually great about atheists.
Right, right.
Is they don't say they know.
I needed to clarify because it sounded like that's the path
you
were headed down.
No, I don't think that. I don't think that. No.
Cool.
But I do think that, like, language changes. Look how much language has changed in the last 20 years just because we use so much technological language in our... Can you imagine if the Bible was written now, there'd be LOL in the Bible?
Yes.
It'd be hilarious. WTF!
So and YOLO!
Yeah. Yeah,
Job,
exactly.
Job said to God, WTF! Yeah, and God LOLs, I mean, man, LOLs!
Just the amount that language has changed in the last 20 years, can you imagine how it's changed in the last 2,000 years? Like, meanings, connotations, I think it's ridiculous for people to take it as word. But I think it's also most of... Because I'm excited to talk about the news stories.
Yeah.
I was reading those.
Okay, cool.
Before I got over here. And it really is somewhat of a mental illness.
Yeah.
I believe some people that want to, I don't know, just sort of like push my views on someone else. Like it would be like me trying to convince you, I think Thor is the best superhero. Right, right. I really think he is. It's like, no, you might like the Hulk.
Yeah.
We were just at an...
Well, who would win?
Exactly. But I was just at an event where Stan Lee was there, so this is why I'm thinking Thor and the Hulk.
Come on. But you're always a nerd gamer guy.
I am.
Be you, Chris Gore.
I've also been very tolerant of people's views. Like, I'm like, I want to hear... Like, I love when someone's opinion completely differs from mine.
Yeah, but do you ever find yourself just kind of like nodding and smiling like, uh-huh, that's nice.
It depends on how much or how little I want to talk to them. Like, if I really don't want to talk to that person, I'll agree as a way to escape.
Yeah.
Thor or Hulk?
Thor.
Yeah, Thor. No question.
Yeah.
Says my daughter who has the Thor hammer on her fucking keychain.
No
but
way.
Here we got Kyle going, no way.
No way, gotta go Hulk.
Why would the Hulk beat Thor?
According to the comics, yeah, he can become potentially infinitely strong. He can punch the universe, which is ridiculous. And
the Hulk can.
Yes. And if Thor's hammer works in the way that I think it does, yeah, which I'm going to go with... If he could be,
of course you are.
Of course I am.
I don't know how it works at all because it boomerangs back, but it has no aerodynamic qualities that support that idea.
Unless,
so it's beyond bizarre to me.
Right, unless you change the gravitational constant between two objects.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
You increase the attraction between just
those
two.
So Thor is controlling gravity?
Yes.
Okay, so you got a guy that can control gravity.
Yes.
Fighting a guy...
Who can punch the universe.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, that
so
two guys that'll probably have a draw, but the rest of us are fucked.
If Thor tried to pick up Hulk's hammer, mm-hmm, it would have to scale up its mass, its gravity, as he was becoming infinitely strong, right?
Okay.
So he can't pick up Thor's hammer, right?
Right.
Damn you and your science.
He can't pick up Thor's hammer, right? So at some point, the increased mass and gravity gets so much for Thor's hammer that it becomes so massive it becomes a black hole and everything dies.
We don't want them fighting.
Marvel number 8.
I wonder if in 2,000 years, Marvelism will be a religion.
Oh, man.
Isn't it already?
Marvelism, that would
be so
awesome.
You see that in the gaming world and in the nerd world. You see that all the time where people really will get fucking they'll go to fisticuffs over shit like this.
I know some Jedis.
Right? And right.
Yeah.
Why do I say fisticuffs? Like I'm 90.
Nerds don't fight with their hands.
Right, they don't.
With their lightsabers.
I wrote an article recently about I was trying to prove which starting Pokemon in Pokemon Red and Blue was best. And
this, I love this already.
And
right?
I,
this is a great argument.
I'd like to point out that I'm pretty sure Kyle gets laid a lot. I just want to point that out. That's the irony in this. Go ahead, Kyle.
Thank you.
Or at least HJs.
I can...
I have a feeling we're going to do very, very little.
I don't know. I'm just assuming. Okay.
I want to give the listeners a warning. This is probably not going to be a very heavy atheist show. Anyway, Kyle, go ahead.
Anyway, so I can go more into my argument, but the response I got back when I said Squirtle was the best one to pick, mm-hmm, was so heavy. I will stand by this. I got better, more reasoned, better understood arguments from people who were Pokemon enthusiasts than climate change deniers, than evolution deniers.
Get the fuck out of here.
No joke. They are so much better. They know so much more about the material. They articulate it better, and they make better.
They're not just calling each other names.
And they make better arguments. 100%.
Wow.
It's wonderful to see.
You know, we don't wow in unison very often. I'd like
that
to point that out.
That was insane.
That was
a
weird,
great
right?
Wow.
God damn it. So what you're saying is the world is filled with idiots except those who are into Pokemon.
You just got to find the passion that really touches off somebody, and, you know, that's their jam, you know?
Right.
But we find that with religious people and with atheists, but then they get flustered and start calling people assholes and
my biggest problem with people that are into religion is the pushing their views on me. That is
that's where the
that
line is for you, isn't it?
It's sort of like, don't like I'm cool. Like hearing that, I'm like, I freaking love that. Even if I disagree with it, I'm like, I love that passion. You know, the argument of like, you're a Hulk guy, cool, I'm down. But yeah. Like, you're not trying to make me convert to the Hulk.
Sure, but
I'm not converting to the Hulk.
Think about it from
you can't make me convert to the Hulk, or it's like you think I should die because I'm not into sure. the Hulk.
But think about it from their perspective as well. Think, I mean, just giving them the benefit of the doubt, trying to be compassionate here. I mean, still, from their perspective, you are someone in need of their help based on everything that they've been taught since they were.
Oh, yeah, like I don't like being made wrong for my views.
But still, if you were taught from a baby that your friend was in need of your help or else something terrible would happen to them, it becomes a little bit easier to understand why they might want to push a belief
you
on
know,
you or
this
not.
This is one of the topics that I wanted to take us into that wasn't on the topic sheet. I just watched a panel with you probably won't know who these guys are, but I'll give you the breakdown.
Chris, what if I do know
you
who
may.
These guys are? Am I?
Chris Stedman. And P.Z. Myers. Now, P.Z. Myers is a really... You don't know either of them, do you?
I know Ralph Stedman.
Ralph Stedman, he wasn't there.
No relation. He's a brilliant artist.
Chris Stedman, I only point out the two male members of this panel because they were the ones that were kind of
battling
going head-to-head.
Head.
Yeah. And frankly, this what I'm about to tell you is more about P.Z. Myers than it is about Stedman, too. Stedman was really kind of a victim of this vitriolic attack from P.Z. Myers. Stedman is an atheist. Out-of-the-closet gay guy, atheist, out-of-the-closet atheist, and he... is one of the most prominent members of the interfaith community. He really works hard at trying to get non-believers and believers to come together and find something
common
to
ground.
Unify
common
them.
Ground.
Yeah, a common ground. For example, and I agree with this. I'm a fucking ardent atheist, and I'm a little more of a P.Z. Myers than I am a Chris Stedman. But
how could you say that?
I swear I am. By that, I mean I will be a feminist if I'll get laid. But here's, I'm just kidding. I'm not really getting laid. P.Z. Myers attacks Stedman, Chris Stedman on this panel, just because he's trying to do this interfaith thing, and. What drove me nuts about it was this strawmanning that PZ seemed to be doing. He kept saying these things about the interfaith community and what they do and don't do and what ends up happening. And finally, Chris Stedman, who was just stunned, just goes, you're not describing the experience I have in this community. You have some view of this that's inaccurate. Well,
based on
it really drives me nuts when someone in the atheist or skeptic or both communities actually use the fallacies, the very fallacies that we're trying to communicate the public about.
Right.
What in the fuck is wrong with PZ that he would use a straw man argument?
You know what's wrong with PZ.
Well, I don't know what's wrong with PZ. I like PZ as an atheist in many ways.
Well, not at that, not for this.
But when it comes to sitting across from a guy like Stedman and actually calling him names and being so vitriolic, my take on it is this, forgive me for the diatribe. I'll give you guys I'm trying to give you the background so when I ask the question, you have an idea of where I'm going with this. In our community, this is a big issue. My take on it is the PZs, the Pendulettes, the Stedmans, everybody who's out there who is doing the work that you have to do when you're an activist in the atheist community or in the skeptic community, whatever your approach, good for you, generally speaking, right? I think there are lines, but whatever your approach, we're all doing it ourselves. We're all doing our own thing. And to say that Stedman shouldn't be doing interfaith work, you're just a cunt.
He's saying he's doing his atheism wrong.
Yeah, that's exactly what he's saying.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to bring it back down to, I'm going to go to Kyle here. I'm going to bring it to Kyle after the break, and I'm going to say to you, you work and live in the science community. And we hear a lot that in the science community, there's a very small percentage of religious folks, for example.
Yeah.
And I have a friend who works at a lab where everybody at that lab is some kind of religion, believes in some kind of religion. Sure. She's like the lone atheist in the lab. And so I want to talk about that in the science community. In our community, it's really fucking awful, this whole doing it wrong kind of thing.
Sure.
And I want to talk about how you get around that in the science community. We'll be right back after this. You're listening to Ardent Atheist at ardentatheist.com and available at the iTunes Store. More after this unavoidable interruption.
We've had a lot of people ask us about the comedy sketch clips that we play from the vile comedy album Chaos Radio, so we are making it available to you. You can buy your favorite tracks from the 23-track record individually for $1, or you can buy the entire recording for $18. Go to gumroad.com/Emery. That's G-U-M as in misanthrope. Okay, I'm not even going to go through all this. ROAD.com/Emery and buy the stupid thing.
That's right.
Just
according,
do it.
According to condom manufacturers, only 6% of men use extra large condoms. Of course, black guys don't use condoms.
Hi, I'm David Diskin, and I wanted to tell you about Camp Quest West. We're a secular summer camp for non-religious families, and our week-long program for kids runs this summer in locations in California and over a dozen others throughout the U.S. At Camp Quest, we give kids the traditional camp experience, like archery, swimming, arts and crafts, and campfire songs, but we add science, skepticism, humanism, and critical thinking. There's a few spots left for parents who want to register their kids, but we're also asking for your help. We turn every donation into camperships for families that can't afford to send their children to camp. We're 100% volunteer-based, a tax-exempt 501c3, and our amazing financial aid program is supported by the free thought and skeptic community by people like you. I want to see how much Emery and Heather's fans can raise for Camp Quest West. Visit tinyurl.com/ardentcampquest or look for the link on their Facebook page. You can learn more about our California camps and the others throughout the U.S. by visiting campquest.org.
And now back to Ardent Atheist Nonsense You Can Believe In. We're talking with Chris Gore and Kyle Hill.
Chris.
And something got dropped on the floor.
Chris, what were you saying?
Yeah, Chris.
I was saying you have an amazing voice.
Thank you.
She
very
does
much.
Have a good voice, wow. Doesn't she?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Thank you. Not when I talk like that.
Kyle, what, first of all, we hear the atheist world citing really low believer numbers in the science community. Do you think that's accurate in your experience?
If you look at surveys of the National Academy of Sciences and things like that, non-belief is up in the 90s or so. Belief is very rare. I don't know if that is a function of what these people study or that's just how they were brought up, but yes, it is very, very low in belief numbers.
Yeah, what kind of lab was it?
Well, the lab that my friend works in is, what's that stuff we use to kill bugs? Pesticides lab. So they create
You're
pesticides.
Laughing.
I couldn't think.
Like, what's that stuff we use to kill insects, but outside? What was it? No.
Yeah, and poor people.
Yeah.
And poor people.
Oh. For eating all that corn.
You were going to say something, Chris?
Oh, I was going to say, has there ever been a scientific study about if God exists?
Well,
I think we try to figure that out every day.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Well, the closest, because I'm sure that, probably that would come back that you can't prove it.
Well, it's been said by many.
Yeah.
It's been said by many, you can't prove a negative. Now, there's a scientific... Have I talked to you about can't prove a negative yet?
No.
There's a scientific dictum, can't prove a negative, that I would love to talk to you about. Do you know much about this whole can't prove a negative concept? And it's applied, it's used by the right, by religious. We believe there's God, we believe it with faith, can't prove a negative, na 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 na. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You get that kind of shit.
Right, right.
Which I think they're misusing the scientific concept of can't prove a negative. Mm-hmm. I don't want to sound like an idiot. Talk to me. I'm going to ask you, tell us what can't prove a negative in science means.
I think even the phrase kind of starts off on the wrong foot a little bit, because we're not talking about proving anything, really. What we do is we gather enough evidence so that anything other than that conclusion would take a mountain of evidence to overturn.
Right.
So for something like evolution, we have so much evidence that it would literally take a miracle to overturn this body.
Isn't that ironic?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the glib answer is, you know, you find a rabbit in the Precambrian.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you find something like that, that would be great evidence for it. So we build up these, you know, mountains of facts until it's so much so that we call them facts. But there's always wiggle room for them to be disproved, to have new evidence, to change it. So when you're talking about, you know, you can't prove that something is not or doesn't exist, it's used so differently between, I mean, maybe it'd be helpful to define first what I
does
mean,
not exist.
Yeah, does not exist. So let's take Bigfoot. You know, if you find no evidence of Bigfoot ever, in a biologist standpoint, you can say it does not exist.
Right.
It's actually
in the sciences, somebody will make a suggestion. They'll say a hypothesis,
yes.
And they'll say, this is what I think is going on. And then they have to follow that up in the sciences with predictions, right?
Yes.
And with those predictions come the ability to prove or disprove. Mm-hmm. Well, we set out to disprove them is what we do in the sciences. Yeah. Is that accurate?
Yeah. I mean, you could set up a study where you say, does vitamin C have no effect on colds?
Mm-hmm.
It's a negative proposition. It does not have an effect. If you set up the study right with double blinds and stuff like that, you can prove that. You can say, I proved that negative hypothesis on this question. I mean, it's the terms are so different. They're trying to say that because you can't say it doesn't exist because there's no evidence, but if you don't get any evidence in the first place, you can't start saying whether something does or does.
Is that like nobody knows what a nothing is?
You can tell how flustered I'm getting because it's so tangled up in terminology of
how
it.
How far off am I from reality with this idea?
Sure.
It seems to me that can't prove a negative in the sciences means if you can't bring us a testable concept, a testable hypothesis, then we're not interested in your idea. To me, that's what can't prove a negative seems to suggest, scientifically speaking.
Sure, yeah. If you create for yourself an entity that is fundamentally
untestable,
unobservable, yeah. Untestable,
right.
That's Stephen Jay Gould's non-overlapping magisterial, right? If science cannot even start touching the question of God by definition, that's it.
Well, now there are examples.
We can't say anything about that if we can't make any predictions or test or anything like that. It's
the first example that comes to mind in my head, because when I think of something like that, when I think of an equation like that, I immediately go, is there an example where science is actually entertaining a negative, if you will? In other words, an untestable idea. And there are examples in the sciences of ideas that were entertained, explored, thought about, written about, studied, that weren't making predictions, I think. Now, doesn't string theory fall into this?
Yeah, so there's a difference there because that's the funny thing about pseudoscience, right? There's a fuzzy delineation. It's not a hard one between what is science and what isn't.
Yeah.
String theory has no hard evidence for it whatsoever. It is all equations and math.
Okay.
It's based on a lot of great theories that work really well. Does that make it pseudoscience? There's no evidence for it, yet we still study it. Same thing for search for extraterrestrial intelligence. SETI. Are they practicing pseudoscience because we have no evidence whatsoever that there are aliens out there, yet they search them? Yet they search for them. They have conferences talking about it. That's why...
We evidence that they've visited the Earth.
Or right? No evidence that they,
right.
That they
no,
exist.
No, that they exist. No evidence they exist. And
that's the fuzziness.
We're getting into the mathematical probabilities.
I wouldn't say that SETI is pseudoscience. I wouldn't say that string theory right. is pseudoscience. But it starts creeping... You know, it starts meshing into the divide there. It's hard to it's hard to separate the two unless you're making predictions. And if you can't make a prediction about what God can do or not, scientifically, I have to say,
right. Well, and that's what. And by the way, that's when I can disprove your air quotes negative. Okay, if you make a specific claim.
Yeah,
I'm on you. I will fucking disprove the shit out of your lie.
Yeah.
And they do that. They do that in the sciences. They tested prayer. Yep. You know what I'm saying?
They said it made people better. In some cases, it made people worse.
Right.
There's been at least two studies, maybe three, that I've heard of. One of them is very intriguing. The people who were actually prayed for did not fare better. And statistically speaking, it was...
some outside force praying for you isn't going to do anything, right?
Think of the... psychologically,
there you go.
These people knew that they were being prayed for. It's kind of that pressure to always feel better.
What
feel
if
better,
you didn't
feel better.
Know? What if you didn't know?
Then,
well, they yeah, did
that,
three.
Then I would think that would be.
It was a double blind, and they did three groups, and
no,
they did
no change.
They, yeah, and they did different approaches for all three. Mm. I don't remember the exact details, but it was something along the lines of one group of people knew they were being prayed for. Another group didn't even know they were being prayed
for.
But people
were praying for them.
And people were praying for them. And then there was a
third group. No,
a third
no
group,
prayer.
No prayer, just a
all
normal. Right.
You need more
conditions.
Than three groups to prove that theory, don't you think?
You need,
scientifically speaking?
Well, you're trying to get the variables out. So you need groups of people with similar conditions. You can have large groups of people just differing in one variable. So
right. They
have the same conditions, same age, same kinds of people, pray or not. Do they know it or not? And then you can compare those large groups of people and get something statistically out of it.
I know a guy who was hired to contemplate. He was hired to think. And one of the
where
things,
do I get that gig?
One yeah. of the things that he was hired to think it? About was the idea of nothing, nothingness. Mm. And so I asked him, well, what did you learn? And he said, nothing.
Yeah. Who was this? Do
clear
I know him?
No, you don't know this
okay,
person.
Cool.
Back in Philly.
It's a frustrating thing, the whole can't prove a negative deal. It's one that eats me alive.
And they misuse terminology quite a bit.
They being the religious, the believers.
Sometimes.
Oh,
I
do
mean,
they? Really?
I mean, like you said, I mean, if they're not making testable claims, it's very hard to jump on them for that. I mean, like you said with PZ and Stedman, I mean... they're doing their thing. If they're not pushing it on other people, if they're not making claims that you can say anything about, you kind of have to wash your hands of it. That's different from a moral perspective or a philosophical perspective. Scientifically, it's different. But if, you know, you're saying the morals that you're showing is wrong, that, you know, you're against condoms or, you know, you're for female circumcision or something like that, that the moral issues that are separate.
Right, right, right.
Still jump down someone's throat for that, obviously.
Yeah, like Rafael Cruz. Everybody know who... this guy is?
I've heard of
Ted Cruz's dad.
Yeah.
Right? Ted Cruz, the politician. Ted Cruz's dad is I think he's originally from Colombia. I think he certainly sounds like he's from Colombia. But we're going to have a...
Now, there are other foundations that the world sets on us. Let's talk about two of them, which are very interrelated. One of them is atheism. The other one is secular humanism. Let's look, for example, at the behavioral consequences of these two foundations. Well, if there is nothing, if there is no God, then we are ruled by our instincts. There is no moral absolutes, which means we operate by situational ethics, which unfortunately is something that is being taught in every high school in America. And situational ethics basically says that right and wrong depend on the circumstances. In other words, it's a moral relativism where you make your rules as you go on. And then actually they've taken it to the level to say, it doesn't make any difference what you believe in as long as you're faithful to what you believe in. In other words, you make your own set of rules and then you live by your own set of rules. And of course, he said, there are no absolutes. When it is convenient, you change the rules. Do we know any politicians that have done that?
Hitler. Listen to this. Hitler.
Well, we don't have to go that far, Larry.
Some guy says Hitler.
Well, I thought I
just go to the White House. So, and of course, this leads us, when there are no moral absolutes, leads us to sexual immorality, leads us to sexual abuse, leads us to perversion, and of course, no hope.
What?
No hope.
No hope.
No hope.
No hope. My that
I
no hope.
I just kept thinking that he was just going to say, Lucy? Lucy?
Got some splaining to do.
You got some splaining to do. When I came across this, someone put it up on the Wall of Reason today, and it just fucking made me crazy. I mean, this is the kind of guy that turns P.Z. Myers into what he is, you know? You can't deal with jagoffs like this. That guy's a fucking liar. First of all, he's completely making up everything that he said. Everything is made up when it comes to what it means to be an atheist or a non-believer. It's just fucking bullshit. And what makes me crazy is politicians, and this guy is a politician for the record. Let's be very clear. He is the guy stumping for his son. He's the reason that people get behind his son. He goes up and speaks before his son, Ted Cruz.
You mean presidential candidate Ted Cruz?
Yeah, roger that. I'd love it to see. I'd love to see him up for as president because I can't imagine him winning.
I can't imagine a more entertaining campaign than Ted Cruz running for president. That would be awesome.
Is that where we're going to be? Are we going to get Ted? It can't be Cruz.
No, I think what we're going to do.
He's the extreme that makes the middle look good.
Chris Christie, but I think it's going to. Now I sound like one of those asshole moron pundits.
You're a pundit, man.
I'm one of those pundits.
What's going to happen, Chris?
Has a P.O. box in Texas, and it's like the Chris Gore Institute. Or the, you know what I mean? Like all those guys, there's no credibility whatsoever to most of those so-called experts on the talking heads that...
Then we'll be very clear. What Chris is saying is just his...
I am a bullshit artist, just like all of them.
Good for you.
So I'm just willing to admit it. But I really do believe that in my lifetime, we will be living in the former United States. I think that it's become... The language has become so divisive between the religious right and the people on the side of reality and reason, you so aptly put it, that this country will be broken apart like the USSR.
Fuck you, hippie.
No, right. That's what I believe.
You're listening to Ardent Atheist at ardentatheist.com and available at the iTunes Store. More after this insufferable disruption.
Good news, everyone.
Wow, that was louder than normal. You're listening to Ardent Atheist, as I just said. We have a premium ad-free service. We already give you a free hour of entertainment, but the premium service will allow you to subscribe to the full 90-minute show. It's only $10 per year. We also have another option. That's the pay more if you want button. If you want to give us more money, we'll give away some subscriptions to the needy. Every once in a while, someone drops me an email and says, I can't afford your fucking thing. So we give it away. So be generous. Support the show if you can afford it. And please go to ardentatheist.com/premium. And subscribe. The dot over the letter I is called a tittle.
That sounds like a tittletale.
Nope. But that's what you call the bottom part.
Ugh. Hi, I'm David Diskin, and I wanted to tell you about Camp Quest West. We're a secular summer camp for non-religious families, and our week-long program for kids runs this summer in locations in California and over a dozen others throughout the U.S. At Camp Quest, we give kids the traditional camp experience like archery, swimming, arts and crafts, and campfire songs. But we add science, skepticism, humanism, and critical thinking. There's a few spots left for parents who want to register their kids, but we're also asking for your help. We turn every donation into camperships for families that can't afford to send their children to camp. We're 100% volunteer-based, a tax-exempt 501c3, and our amazing financial aid program is supported by the free thought and skeptic community by people like you. I want to see how much Emery and Heather's fans can raise for Camp Quest West. Visit tinyurl.com/ardentcampquest or look for the link on their Facebook page. You can learn more about our California camps and the others throughout the U.S. by visiting campquest.org.
Did you see that UFO sighting that made the news? What did that latest study about alternative treatments really say? Is this photo making the rounds real or a hoax? Doubtful News is a unique website featuring news about pseudoscience, the paranormal, anomalies, and questionable claims framed with a skeptical view. Come visit DoubtfulNews.com every day for news about cryptozoology, conspiracies, shams, scams, and more. Follow us on Twitter at Doubtful News. Critical thinking is essential in assessing today's news. Doubtful News helps you decide, can you really believe this stuff?
And now back to Ardent Atheist Nonsense You Can Believe In. We're talking with Chris Gore and Kyle Hill. Thanks for being here, you guys.
Thanks, everybody.
We really appreciate you coming.
No props.
No props.
All right, listen. First of all, you had said, you were talking, Kyle, earlier, you were talking about not finding, you'd said something about not finding, or finding a rabbit in the Cambrian.
Pre-Cambrian.
There are, I came across a guy the other day, a religious moron, who has a YouTube channel up where he's arguing the 6,000-year thing, right? And it's amazing to watch these guys. We're talking about the whole abuse of science, you know? And these guys, in one out of one side of their mouth, they claim you can't trust carbon dating, for example, right? Which you can.
But those idiots that don't believe in evolution, I mean, I think that we will see, you know, in a few hundred years, evidence of evolution just based on Facebook photos. I mean, look at Megan Fox's thumb. I feel like we've evolved where it's like her thumb is that weird short stumpy Megan Fox thumb.
I haven't seen it.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about.
I do.
Blythe?
She has a clubbed thumb. It's true.
It's weird, but what? I've seen that kind of thumb on other people, and I believe that is we have evolved. Look, we're taller because... No, I'm serious. We are taller because...
No, I'm serious. No way.
Well, what I'm saying is that even in a few hundred years, we've evolved to looking differently because we eat better.
Sure.
We've also eaten shittier because we're eating more corn. So you have more... It used to be, when I grew up, there was like, well... There's the one heavy kid in class. Now you look at schools and everybody's fucking fat. I'm sorry. America, do look fat in that.
But this is just
a short period of time. Can you imagine over millions of years?
That's the point. This is a short.
Thank you.
This is a no. I'm disagreeing.
He's gonna eat you.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Good.
That's exactly the point. We are dealing with short time frames here. Okay. There is no way to extrapolate what kind of changes are coming over humanity in your lifetime in 50
Wi-Fi years. Based brains
in 100 years, and even people who say the Precambrian stuff, they say, you know, how is that possible? All this diversity springing up out of nowhere in an instant. Well, first it happened over millions of years,
right.
Just like evolution.
Right,
and that's when organisms started getting hard bodies and shells. So that's why we found...
There were no rabbits in the Precambrian?
No, interestingly enough.
What did they pull out of a hat?
It was like a squid-looking thing with a shell. It was like Cthulhu-looking.
And by the way, Megan Fox right now is on my computer if you'd like to take a look at Megan Fox's freakish thumb.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's...
That is a fucked-up thumb.
It looks a little alien, doesn't it?
But we do see human evolution in real time. I mean, lactose intolerance...
Hello.
...is...
I got it.
An evolved trait. Some people can process.
So I'm more advanced,
and some people
can't. I'm less advanced.
Still, today, some populations in the world just cannot at all. That's human evolution. Blue eyes weren't around for a long time. It got seeded throughout the population. That is
it true that women with red hair will not exist, or like people with red hair?
I've heard this before.
I'm more concerned about women with red hair.
Why did
you go straight to women?
That was bizarre.
Sexist.
Why did you make it a sex thing?
Oh, because I think women with red hair are hot.
Do you? Okay. So you were personalizing
it. Not in a religious way.
So, Kyle, what Chris wants to know is,
will he be able to bang redheads?
Yeah.
In the future.
Might he be able to bang redheads 50 years from now when I have a robot body?
That's exactly right.
With my robo penis.
Yeah, like a dildo on a Black & Decker.
Right. That sounded dirtier than it was.
Robo-dildonics is a science. Let's get on this.
I usually don't talk like that. I'm sorry.
Excuse me, teledildonics.
He's not joking.
That's an actual word.
This is totally real.
I read that and what?
Yeah, teledildonics.
Right. Let's be very clear about what he's talking about. Teledildonics is the is the science.
Is the fourth level of Scientology.
First of all, we've all seen the guy that's wearing a suit in front of a green screen. And
Edward Penis Hands.
Right?
I've seen it. It's brilliant.
No. He's wearing a suit in front of a green screen, and they've got this outfit on him that actually is mapping his movements, right? Okay, think of that technology, but then what you do... Are you okay? My daughter's looking at me with this grimace. Oh, my God, don't say it. Don't describe it. So what they're talking about here, what they're trying to develop, is they're trying to develop a suit that you can get into, and someone else can get into a suit anywhere else in the world, theoretically, because you could be connected via internet wirelessly, right? And that person could be stroking your arm, and you would feel it in the suit.
Oh, awesome. What's the delay?
Not your arm.
Like?
I can just tell you that.
Not your arm.
Not your arm.
Well,
yeah.
How is
know.
The delay going to play out in that?
Yeah, right. The delay. Well, I don't know. I mean,
it will be like a jittery video, but like a jittery hand job. That sounds pretty weird.
It sounds like it might be better. Yeah, that sounds enhanced to me.
I'm buffering. Feature. I'm buffering.
It's a feature, not a bug.
Loading.
For real.
On your face.
Unloading.
Right,
so, so the suit
still
would
getting kicked off this show.
The suit would
you ever kicked off anyone? No,
I'll redo the intro if I have
okay,
to.
Okay, good.
We have no rules. We have no fucking rules.
Awesome, I love that.
The women would wear whoever wants something in them would wear the in way the thing
still
that
a
goes
man.
Inside.
It's
right,
still going to be a man.
It's going to be a man.
It's going to be two dudes.
Women
every
aren't going to put this on, are they?
Pretty
it's just
going to
be guys.
Pretty sure it's not going to be as good as my hand. Mwah. I'm so good. Just frankly. I'm not bragging or anything, but I'm really good at jerking myself off.
Old Pamela Henderson.
Oh, hello.
I just love that you're kissing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
it.
You know where it's been.
Romancing the hand. So I didn't know this about this, but this thumb thing on Megan Fox.
She texts a lot, I can tell you that.
She's not an evolved human
it's
with
not
a
an
stumped
evolution.
Thumb.
I want to make sure we're very clear. That's actually just a malformed thumb.
There's
and
enough,
by the way,
yeah.
I, for many years, my right thumb was very flat and odd. Now, it's kind of changed over the years to
what?
Be a little, yes, it, really flat, fucked up flat. Here's why. Sucked the shit out of that thing till I was in my teens. I sucked my thumb every night, and it just
wasn't your
rotted
thumb?
It. Were you a thumb sucker?
Not yeah. at all.
My daughter and I share a lot of traits. Fortunately, she didn't get that one. But it was flat and fucked up from all the thumb sucking, and then it grew back. So I'll bet you she sucked her thumb. I'll bet that's what we're seeing.
What's up there. With my hands?
Well, your hands are fucked. Yeah, hold your fingers up. They're completely just...
midget pinkies.
Yeah, they're the wrong length.
Oh, that's interesting. Weird?
Totally wow. corresponds with the depth of her vagina.
That's
I don't
true.
Know
that is true.
A lot of people don't know that about the
pinky. There's enough
and the width.
There's enough genetic variability in human populations that you're going to see stuff that's different. It doesn't mean that there's giant changes.
I'm personally a mutant. I'm a mutant. I was.
That's
I'm serious.
True. That is literally true.
I was born with one kidney. I have one really large kidney.
Really?
Yeah. It's. I have a mono kidney. It's extremely rare. Huh. It's my superpower. My mutant superpower is
filtration.
No. I pee.
That's why he walked in and said,
serious.
I need a beer.
Yeah. I urinate three times more than the average person, or
oh,
so
really?
My doctor says, yeah. I don't know if I'm going to use my power for good or evil, but
you can put out fires.
Step into a water treatment plant and be like, I got this.
I got to pee right now, but it's, I mean, whatever. Like, I love that. I think mutation, it's a very groovy mutation. Mm. Just to quote Professor X from X-Men First Class,
such
nerd alert.
So, I think we've established that. We opened this show arguing about Thor.
Kyle. Oh, this is great.
Yeah, I will keep going.
Oh,
yeah,
I know.
No. I was going to say, like, we could just go with that. But I prefer I love this science versus faith argument. I've always loved, but I almost think that you could actually, you could take that faith argument and scientifically study it and find that it's like, well, positive attitude is actually a good thing. They say that, like, this is a weird thing, but like, if you walk with really good posture, and you walk like that, you will be less a victim of crime because when you hunch over and you look forlorn,
you look like a mark.
You look like a mark. Liza. But if you walk with really good posture through a bad neighborhood, you're more intimidating because you don't look like you're a sort of depressed individual.
Well, as a woman, I use that practice all the time.
Okay,
yeah,
so
you probably just look alert.
I walk with upright posture. I walk with my head up, and I walk around like I own this shit. And
you look like no one. You basically act like
no
don't fuck with
yeah,
me.
Yeah, that's what.
But when
that's what
I think that I think there's some validity to that. Like you will be less fucked with than someone who's
when people make the basically the placebo argument. You know, making me. When I pray, it makes me feel good. It has this effect over nothing. It's better. It's
it makes
better
me feel
nothing.
Stupid, like I'm talking to a mushroom.
But
whatever.
You know, people feel empowered. People feel good. They feel happier after doing it. The argument against that, of course, is that anything that makes you feel good has the same psychological effect.
Yes.
Right. Reading a good book on the beach on a sunny day. Is equivalent to the benefits, if any,
a good orgasm.
From prayer if you can study them.
What?
And when people say, you know, hey, well, prayer affects your brain. Everything affects your brain. Full Ooh, stop.
Say it in yeah. my voice again.
Everything affects your brain.
Hell, that affected something else. Okay, we'll be right back. You're listening to Ardent Atheist at ardentatheist.com and available at the iTunes Store. More after this intolerable intermission. And now, a special announcement.
This is a big super shout-out.
A spig?
It's a spig. Super shout-out to a few of our listeners. Hair Peace, Dumb Cumpster, Drunk Adinikov, One Center, Snake Oil, Carl Barrett, Dar Emery, Hi,
Hi Mom,
Shut the Fuck Up, Al, The Jedi Smurf, Black Hole Vagina, Vag Like a TARDIS, The Planet Size Vagina, Kennelly, Unoriginal Eric, Jonesy, Uno Mia's Marty, Richard, Cameron Winters, and Joe Swam. These were some of the people chatting on the Wall of Reason last week. Thanks for being there, everybody.
Those names are awesome. Now people are just making up fucked up names just to get them read
That's
on the show.
True.
That's
you
what's
see
going
some
on.
Of the names on the wall right now.
All right. Who's on the wall right now? All right. I'm sorry. Let's come back to the show. And we've now back to Ardent Atheist. Nonsense you can believe in. We're talking with Chris Gore and Kyle Hill. Let me finish.
Okay.
Okay. I'm fine.
We've got sober Adinikov.
Oh, really?
Last sober? Week we had drunk.
Drunk? Now he's sober? Get a beer, Adinikov. That guy's in Russia, I think. He's somewhere up in the Russias.
I'm sure I'm pronouncing his name wrong.
Is Sarah there?
No, I don't see her.
God damn it. Where's Sarah Mayhew? Hi, Sarah. Wave to Sarah.
Hi, Sarah.
Maybe she's just watching, but not on the wall. All right, where was I? First of all... Whoa, I got to turn on your mic. Why isn't your mic on?
Hey, man.
Sorry about that, brother.
Whatever.
Welcome back. I love always talking to you.
Thank you.
And the reason is your ability to cut right through the shit and get to the meat of something, which I'm really bad at, fundamentally, across the board. You name it. I'm not good at doing it. And
you got giggles from the.
I know, right? And when it, shut up from the peanut gallery.
Thank you, peanut gallery.
I can't even think of the fucking peanut gallery. I'm an idiot. And by the way, where'd Chris go?
Oh, he had to pee.
Yeah, yeah.
Superfiltration strikes again.
That's so funny.
That's his superpower.
But when struck down by excess water.
But when Chris is talking about the evolution thing, I watched you, like, you're grimacing and you're roiling around in your chair.
It's because a lot of these, not because he's wrong
or
anything.
No, I got
it.
We're not picking on it.
Especially with listening to Ted Cruz's dad, these are zombie arguments. These are arguments that have been slain multiple times but keep coming back. And you just can't. Every time someone new gets in the media, they make the same claim. You know, Hitler was secular, therefore secular morality is bad. You know, even though it was basically a state religion. I mean,
in God We Trust was on the fucking officers' belts.
Yes, God mit uns, God with
mit
us.
Uns, God with us.
But like every single time, it doesn't matter how many times we say it. It's the zombie argument of it's so. It must be because it's so persuasive on an emotional level, not because it makes a whole lot of sense.
Right.
Because if it can just keep coming back and people are like, wait, I heard that and that's not true. They're like, oh, that sounds pretty good. I think that's the power of the faith-based argument, really. You don't have to appeal it, really, to anything else other than, I feel this.
It appeals to the uneducated more so to anyone else, I believe. I mean, if they don't know the truth... and they're listening to this guy's emotional rant, they're going to believe it.
Yeah, well, that's how guys like Ted Cruz... Listen, if it weren't for religion, guys like Ted Cruz would not get any traction at all. Mm. Religion
like
breeds
kook.
Ignorance. It's, and I'm not saying all religious people are ignorant either, but religion, by its design, tries to keep us at a specific point in time and a specific intellect. That's the goal of religion. The reason religion isn't going to survive the long haul is because information is now at everybody's thumb tip.
But is it? I mean, have you ever
including
heard
Megan Fox?
Have you ever heard the argument that Patton Oswalt in his stand-up comedy talks about?
He's so good on this.
About
I love
religion
Oswald.
Being sky cake.
Yeah,
yeah.
Which
yeah.
is like religion was basically created by. Intelligent people to keep dumb people in line because, well, dumb people, if you break these moral codes, i.e. killing, whatnot, then you won't get sky cake. You won't get to go to heaven.
Yeah.
Which sky cake sounds delicious.
Yeah, it does.
It
sound
does.
Good.
But,
and
hungry.
I have it in cupcake form.
Very fluffy.
I also don't like calling all of these people stupid. We know that they're not.
Right.
We know, I mean, this is unarguable. We know from statistics that these are not, by and large, stupid people who are religious. That's right. Not true. We can't keep saying that as a community. It's just that people are very, very good at compartmentalizing their beliefs. You can be a scientist and have faith. You can be a preacher and believe in evolution. You can separate these things in your mind, even if they contradict each other. That doesn't mean you're stupid. It's a different thing altogether. It speaks more to human nature and psychology than it does to
cognitive dissidence.
Exactly. It speaks more to that than it does to a general level of education. Like anything else, it's a bit more complicated than that.
Yeah. That's getting us back to that P.Z. Myers, Chris Stedman thing that I saw. I would say I want to appeal to all of our listeners and viewers, if you're watching.
Kill the religious!
What? No.
Oh, no. Wait, I'm sorry.
All right, I'm turning your mic off. Your mic's off. All right.
We'll lose. You know?
Yeah, I know, right? We will lose. That's
we'll
exactly
lose.
Right.
Okay.
So you're not being reasonable. You're being self-preservational.
I'm pragmatic.
Yeah, that's exactly what's going on. Mm. I really think that Chris Stedman's right about the interfaith efforts. That
he gets so much more traction than P.Z. Myers does.
Wildly more.
His books...
P.Z. Myers is shouting at us.
His book was fantastically received by everybody, and everyone came out, now this is an atheist I can get behind. Mm. Now this is a book that really showed me what it's like to reach out to people and be a positive member of a community, even though I don't share their faith.
Right.
He connects with people in a way that you don't get if you just call someone fucking stupid and you don't have anything better to say after that.
Do you feel now, like that's what Sunday Assembly is trying to do? They're trying to...
Yes, absolutely. We went to Sunday Assembly, and what Sunday Assembly is basically the first atheist church. It was being touted in the news as the first atheist mega church, which
but
is
it's
bullshit.
Not.
Mega church is 2,000.
Yeah, there's not that many of us. Yeah,
is there an ultra church? Because that would be...
Ultra. A Voltron church?
That would be awesome.
What did I just say?
Voltron church.
So we went to this thing. I wanted to experience it. I absolutely am going to go back. I'm going to see how it, to misuse the phrase, evolves. I want to see what it turns into.
Is it, because it's sounding more and more like organized religion.
Well, that's a problem that a lot of hardline atheists don't want that, because the right has said that we're fundamentalists. Mm. Just which I love that, by the way. That argument fucking kills me. You are just as unreasonable as me.
We are.
That's what they're saying.
I just don't like it because it makes me feel icky. I don't really like... I never did like church. I didn't like the sing-songy parts of it. I didn't like the, I don't know, meet your partner and say hello kind of weirdness.
But that's always the part of organized religion that makes it so much easier for me to understand why it's hard to give it up. It's because when you go to church for your whole life and your community, it's so hard to, even if you don't believe anymore, if you have to leave, you are giving up your friends, most of your family, the your kids' play dates.
Pancake social. And
the first
bingo.
Of all,
delicious
bingo.
Pancakes.
Yes.
The
who doesn't
who
love
your
pancakes?
Kids? Yeah. It's
atheists love pancakes.
Just as much as religious.
Yeah, because delicious, right? Butter, maybe syrup. So delicious. So yeah, no, I agree with you. Like, I'm not gonna sit here and tell my grandmother, like, oh, give that. It's like, no, it's like it's religion. I think is even it's more about the social aspect of like, here's people I like hanging out with. Yeah, we got to do these bullshit songs. We got to hear what's going to talk about so and so. But there's the gossip aspect, the social aspect, the fun aspect.
Yeah, that was the best
there's
part of the church.
There's drinking involved sometimes.
And then you know what happens, Chris?
What?
Then the preacher tells them, and this happens all around the nation. Go vote for this guy.
Yeah, see that.
And oppress
the
gays. Yeah. And oppress science.
And women
or dames.
Mostly.
Oppress
women.
The broads.
Mostly.
Chicks.
Women.
Yeah. Tomatoes. Cookies. I'm kind of off the rails here.
Right.
So.
I was trying to think of something clever to say back at you.
Yeah, there's nothing to.
No, there's nothing.
Yeah. You just have to point and laugh at me.
I will.
And at me, I mean.
I will.
The long term effect of that. Let them have their thing. I mean, it's profound. There are gay people who can't get married today because how bad could it be? it adds
the
up.
Gay divorce, that's the next thing.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, can you imagine? When you have to split a whole closet of all clothes that both of you can wear.
You had me at
lawyers.
You had me at split a hole.
Yeah.
But sorry,
lawyers,
Chris.
Lawyers have to be salivating over this. Can you imagine the incidence of gay divorce? Mm-hmm. The percentage of gay divorce?
You're going to ruin the sanctity of my sometimes effective marriage.
Right.
50%
of the time. First of all, I don't give a shit. I think gays should have the right to get married. Who cares? It's ridiculous.
That's the point. They care.
Well, no. I want them to be able to get married. I mean, like, yes, but, you know... I'm more of a live and let live. Have your sky cake.
We're going to cake again. I sensed it coming.
Have your sky cake.
I knew he was doing
the
cake again.
But don't force sky cake down my throat.
But do force the pancakes.
But I love the pancakes, delicious pancakes with butter.
Yeah, pancakes and sky cake.
It's hard. It's the same thing with the scientific thing. When you try to push that a claim, you know, the earth is young or something like that, and you can jump on that. It's hard for me to accept any kind of moral argument from moral people when you take a whole group of people and say you are not like us or as good as us. I mean, that's a big reason why a lot of people leave the church in the first place. I mean, you claim the moral high ground and then do things that I think
are immoral.
Are immoral from fundamentally. I mean, like,
it's
going
not
back,
fucking underage boys is what you're saying. That's not what it's about.
It's part of it.
I think that's the least of the problems, actually, in terms...
That's funny.
Really, I do. I think it's the least of the problems. The issues that abound in religious indoctrination are almost clouded by this occasional kid-diddling thing. Mm. It's awful. I'm not fucking defending it, as my detractors would argue at this point. I'm not defending the idea of diddling some kid in a fucking pew. No, absolutely not.
No.
That's tiny compared to the awfulness, in my opinion, that is religious lying, religious indoctrination, and the awful, insidious psychological effects. The reason that we see more, I think, right-wing Republicans fucking other guys in fucking hotel rooms and in bathrooms at the airport is because they're sexually oppressed, they're lied to, and they're completely fucked up in the head. That's the problem. It's a major fucking problem.
You see this in you see this in the Middle East as well, when you have very, very, very sexually repressed populations of young men with not enough work and too few women who don't know how to treat a woman at all because they've never had any meaningful interactions with them.
Right.
What do you expect to happen when you let them together? I mean, if you have someone who has never...
So high unemployment, so there's not a lot to do.
that is true. When young
fucking
men
crazy hot in that desert too will drive you nuts.
When young men don't have anything to do, crime rises. When there's not enough jobs, crime rises. And if you combine that with the fact that they have never interacted with a woman, probably in a meaningful way, in a respectful way, are you really that surprised about how the women are treated in places like that? And that comes out of a lot of the doctrines that they adhere to. And the same thing happens in the U.S., not as bad, of course. I mean, no one
have
is...
Have you been to the Midwest?
I live in the Midwest.
Oh!
I'm from the Midwest.
Whereabouts?
I got out. Royal Oak, Michigan, just outside of
Michigan!
Detroit.
Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Milwaukee, Wisconsin. You guys are neighbors, man. But he's still up there.
It's like a good friend of mine once said. It's like, aside from the racism, sexism, homophobia, and rampant culturally ingrained low self-esteem, the Midwest is awesome.
Okay, that is an exit point for the free hour. That's it for the free hour.
Take two.
That's it for the free hour. We'll be making the full 90 minutes available to our premium subscribers very soon. I want to tell everybody that we are going to catch up on the back episodes. Hang in there for us. I'm sorry, I'm a month and a half behind. But we will be putting out episodes this week.
And live listeners, stay for the premium version. We're not done yet.
I want to thank our guests, Chris Gore and Kyle Hill. I also want to thank my co-host and producer, Heather Henderson, and our video switcher, Sam Kramer. Also, we have Blythe is sitting up there. Blythe Renee is flipping me off right now. Thanks for all your help, both of you guys. Tune in next week when our guests will be...
Extra large condom users.
And we'll be talking about...
Whatever pops up.
We did not write that joke. Why would we do that joke? That's not our... This has been the free version of episode 135, another show that went off without a hitch. We miss you, Hitch. I want to thank my hosts, What?
You're my host.
I'm your host, Emery Emery.
And I'm Heather Henderson, our theme music courtesy of the sound editor of the Aristocrats, Eric Wilson, and special thanks to our Wall of Reason moderator, Joseph Number One Slam, and our digital publicist and web guru, Cameron Number Two Winters.
Because he makes some shit. He's a crapper. Some characters mentioned on this podcast are completely fictitious. Any resemblance to real persons living or dead is purely wishful thinking. Where do they find you?
Scientific American.
And where do they find you?
At that Chris Gore, at chrisgore.com.
You've been listening to Ardent Atheist. Ardent Atheist is a product of natural selection.